The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
You know, because, I mean, this is especially true with dating. It's like, I just feel so unproductive waiting around. You're imposing the, this maybe is Dr. Ethan's dating quarter. Yeah. You are imposing a rule upon yourself that is not real.
Yes.
Guys don't like it when girls ask them out. Fine. We have a solution for this. If you really want to work around. However, mm-hmm. You can also just ask a guy.
Yes.
There's no good Catholic men in my town. If only there were other towns. And then it's like, well, I don't want to leave my family. Okay, then you want to stay with your family more than you want.
Well, you already, yeah,
a guy. You and that's okay. Yeah. That's fine. But you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast from Buenos Aires, and I say kill them all. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. Who are we killing?
The bugs, man.
The bugs. What bugs?
Liberals.
Dang.
No, have you ever seen Starship Troopers?
No.
You ever seen Starship Troopers?
I've heard of it. I heard it's about Nazis.
No, it's about bugs. Killing
them. I heard it's about media literacy.
No. That's what everyone thinks it's about. What it's about is looking Chad and based and shooting bugs with a gun.
And that's the bugs are a metaphor for the Jews.
No, the bugs aren't a metaphor. The bugs are bugs, and you kill them with a gun.
Hmm.
We had this discussion last time about Peter Pan.
Yeah.
I used to be a media literacy guy, but not anymore. Oh, your camera's gone.
Yeah.
That's the end of the podcast.
Gross.
That's a horrendous angle. That makes me feel like I'm on Omegle with you. I feel like you're about to show me something that I need to call the police. Don't start doing it. Welcome to The Crunch, a Catholic podcast. We like to have conversations about the Catholic faith and how to live it, and we like to have fun while we do it, and we think more people should have conversations like this one.
We're glad you're here.
And we're really glad you're here. I think
I'm more glad.
We're going to get a lot of listeners from your disgusting whiteboard foray on Instagram.
Oh, you like
today.
That?
It was gross. It made me I learned something. I mean, I did.
You didn't like
I knew
it?
I knew it already.
Did you like
it?
I used a LUT. Did you notice that?
It was very cleverly presented. I did enjoy your presentation style. I don't know what a LUT is.
It sounds like a
slur.
It's something I used to. It's like a filter. It's like a preset filter I used over the to filter the light. To like make it's a color. It's basically a color filter. So it's like it's a preset. You put it.
You have 30 more seconds on this.
All right. You load it up and it makes the colors look different. You know, like we look very flat. The colors are very flat. You put a LUT, colors pop. It's like, I'm going to highlight the blues and get rid of the yellows, but it's a preset. Oh.
You remember when you had to get on, you would get on Photoshop when you're a kid and you would just do like emboss and you'd like turn the slider all the way up.
That's
what I do. I don't know how to subtly enhance the blues. I'm not Roger Deakins, you know?
You have 40 more. You have 30 seconds to explain. I'm done. Patrick learned something, and I'm not going to be captive. I'm not going to be held captive listening.
I've started doing that. I have a lot of friends that are very smart about a lot of things, but I've just started telling them, like, I can only pay attention. I just tell them, like, I'm only here for about 3 more minutes of this. And I just can't.
And then I'm planning
anymore.
My weekend.
Yes. And my friends are very, and I do it in a very gentle way. So my friends get like, oh yeah, I'm going on about this thing. And I want them to do it to me too. But I'm so aware at least in my like personal
relationships. I'm going to do it every time you speak now.
That's fine.
Every story you tell.
You know what I mean? We're doing a podcast. Every time I start a sentence,
you have
30 seconds.
You have 30 seconds.
That'd be
what,
so
is this,
mean.
A presidential debate? Come on.
Apparently that doesn't even matter because you can just, I love that they did the no mics thing and then Trump would just start talking and you'd hear him and eventually they'd just cave and they turn it back on. It's like, well, what's the point then?
They did?
If you're going to cave,
yeah. I wish I'd watched this debate.
It was so funny because they would try to shut him off. They'd be, Mr. President, it was your guy. And he would just keep bringing stuff up. It was awesome.
That's just incredible.
You're in the path of a natural disaster, impending doom.
Oh, and I have a flight tomorrow.
They're canceling class at college, and it's not for an emotional trauma day like normal.
Dude, the hurricane, I posted this. The hurricane is making landfall tomorrow at 5 p.m. I have a flight scheduled to leave at 5 p.m. They have not canceled that flight.
Dude, you're not leaving. I hate to tell you this, but I would not even go to the airport. I would just
stay
home.
That. I know
okay.
that.
Okay. Are you still going to the airport?
Of course. I want to go. I want to go on this trip. It is a trip. If I go on it, there's a bonus contingent upon me attending this conference.
That seems. I feel like that seems unfair. That feels like it's racist against people who live in where a hurricane is at right now.
I don't. They'll probably be cool with it if I show up late because of the hurricane. I think they'll be.
Can
fine.
You zoom
but,
in? Can't get the bonus from Zoom.
They want everybody there. They want to encourage people to show up. And I do want
to
go. It was
to
really
increase
fun
the synergy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really fun last year.
Is this the one where you did the casino? Yeah. You
yeah, yeah,
about
yeah.
The
it
casino.
Was very fun.
And you turned into Kevin from that one episode of The Office.
Yes. Yeah. Where I'm like, I won the World Series of Poker, twos and sevens, double, no limit, Texas Hold'em. And I'm like, I suck. At poker, I'm bad.
Just fold pre. That's all you need to know.
Fold. That's it. But the problem was, I remember I told you the problem was the dealer was there was a nice sweet mom who was there and she was sitting next to the dealer and the dealer was like, "Oh, you're so sweet. Here, you should raise on that. Those are really good."
Oh,
like,
that's the worst, dude.
Boom.
I would sue the dealer.
It's like, first of all, I know you're not bluffing because that would be 5D chess. For you guys to have colluded to know that,
yeah,
like you have some kind of system in
yeah.
place to lie, and so I'm just gonna fold. What do you expect me to do?
It's a tough spot to be in, but I mean, you have all the information you need about your opponent, which makes for great poker. You can exploit it because if she's raising, you know that she thinks she has a good hand,
yeah,
and you can
true.
Kind of put her on a range, you know. Mm. So it's like, oh, if you're raising, you probably have a pocket pair. Or you've got something, you got some nice cards that could lead to chef showdown value, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
you can exploit it because then you come in with a 7-8 suited. Oh, you hit the flush on the river. Come
yeah.
on. Come she on. Doesn't know. She thought she had two pairs. She thought she won. She has no idea.
Oh, boy.
I'm saying, bro.
That's Vegas, baby. And the people at the blackjack table were absolutely cleaning up. Like, we thought we were wheeling and dealing, but blackjack, we were like, ooh, hundreds, thousands. The blackjack table was like, yeah, I got $100,000 in chips. It's like,
what would it take to get you in Vegas with me for a weekend?
Probably $500 in a free weekend.
One hotel room. No, no wives, just you and me.
Ocean's 11 marathon. Watch
that
all.
It would
the
be so funny to go to Vegas just to watch Ocean's 11 and then leave.
We stand, you and me at the end, we stand at the fountain and just yeah. kind of like look at it and then go, that's the only
and we're
Vegas
still, we're
thing
still watching
seen.
It on our phone. We put our phone up on the little banister and we're like watching it. People are walking by trying to get a picture.
And we're watching the movie.
We're watching
from
the movie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure we wouldn't be the first to do it. That'd
absolutely
be funny.
Not.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy. But yeah, no, so I, now the hurricane is worse. The fact that they haven't canceled flights yet, now they haven't, but wait, was that it? No.
You got to check in.
All right, no. I did check in. I checked in for yeah. the flight.
Nice.
Tampa's closed. Jacksonville's closed. Not Jacksonville. Pensacola Airport's closed. Those are Orlando, not closed.
Right, on the other side.
So, we'll see. I mean, we're going to get, we're going to get something, but I don't know. I might make it out that night.
How do you feel about the fact that you're abandoning your family at their time of greatest need?
It's just a hurricane.
What do you mean it's just a hurricane?
We're not getting hit. The path. We're not in the direct path of the hurricane.
Joe Biden is going to sadly fly over Florida and look out the window of Air Force One and then be like, ah.
Is he still the president?
He is, believe it or not.
Technically.
He is. He's doing a lot.
No, Nick Nevy has wakeboarded in hurricanes that were worse than this one.
You could tell me that Nick Nevy's been to the moon, and I would believe you. He's just you can't use the actions of the coolest guy we both know as like a reason why the hurricane's not a big deal.
No,
it's like, oh, that
deal.
Canyon. Yeah, that canyon. It's Evel Knievel jumped over that canyon, so we don't really have to worry about.
It's
going
not a big
down
canyon.
In it. When it's 120 degrees outside, we don't have any water. We can just hike the canyon because Evel Knievel jumped it with a motorcycle. That's what you're saying, basically.
This is a false equivalence. I think it's not.
Nick Nevy is the Evel Knievel of high school football coaching positions.
It's barely a hurricane.
Yeah.
It's on the other side of the state. It's fine. It's okay.
I could be the Catholic Evel Knievel.
We also don't know. Like it's offshore, so like it could go even further offshore. You don't know exactly where the hurricane's gonna go.
I could be
Virtue Canerchu. Gesundheit.
I don't think your first name should be Evel in any situation.
No,
I firmly believe in your name should say something about you. You know.
Yeah. Was
like
Evel short for something?
You're a ginger. I don't know.
I'm not a ginger.
I have heard people have been saying that on X.
I'm a ginger?
Yeah, people have been calling
you
ginger. It's
because I have an orange background on my...
It's because you have the aura of a ginger, and I hate to be the one to tell
you. Is that
you.
What it is? That sucks. That sucks.
You know it's true, though. I can see it in your face. You know I'm telling the truth.
I'm kind of like sprightly and a little angry, you know?
Yeah, you
but
kind
not,
of
I'm
have
not, like
I,
I'm not scary when I'm angry. I'm just like kind of you know, like that. This guy needs to calm down.
You kind of have that like vibe where you definitely wore zip up hoodies in high school, and everyone is ginger coated.
No,
you did. I've seen it.
No, I zip up hoodies in. No, I never wore zip up hoodies.
You never wore a zip up hoodie,
mm-mm.
And like you pushed the sleeves up, and you kept your weed pen inside the pocket.
Well, I first of all, I lived in Florida, so it was rare that hoodies were rare among the normal.
Yeah.
I've mentioned in the past that there definitely were the kids that wore hoodies all the time. And it's just a bad place to be. But bad thing to bring up. But I never wore zip up hoodies. I was never a big fan.
Mm. I had
always
one
pullover hoodie.
I had one, but it would you would sit down, and if it was still zipped up, it would give you like a little pouch, but it wasn't down in the embarrassing place to have a pouch.
No,
it wasn't
it didn't
the
give
jeans
you like,
pouch, but it was just like it looked like you had a tumor and
and
I didn't really like that. And then you had to unzip it pretty much all the way to get rid of the bump. And then you're just sitting there with a jacket 35% on. I was like, what am I doing? So I eventually dispensed with the jacket.
No, it was always either pullover hoodie or some kind of like, they call them boyfriend jackets now. They didn't call them that back then. It's like a varsity jacket, but not the big puffy leather ones you see now. It's like, it's got the varsity trim where it's like a white sleeve and a solid colored, you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
You don't know what a varsity jacket is?
I know what a varsity jacket is, but you're saying this is a different, and so I don't
know. It looks like a varsity jacket where it's like got the school color and the on the body, and the sleeves are white, but it's like they just had them as like Captain America varsity jacket, you know.
You've completely lost me. What I'm taking away from this is
I can go get it from my bedroom if you want me to show you.
You're abandoning your family, and you're not worried about the hurricane, and I shouldn't be worried either.
You should not be worried about the hurricane.
Okay, that's good to know. We had golf ball sized hail here the other day.
Really?
Yeah, yesterday night, and I went to go pick up a chair with a truck, and I didn't bring a tarp because I said to myself, self, the rain is going south. I was correct. It did go south. No issues whatsoever. I picked up the chair, big, beautiful leather chair, carried it by myself into the house, hurt my hip flexors, and now I'm struggling to walk.
Ooh, sorry, buddy.
It's my own stupidity. I deserve it.
But the chair's nice.
The chair's, oh, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful chair. It's yeah. it's like big. It looks like a woman with a wig on.
I see it.
It's big. It's very large. It's from end to end. It's a chair, 48 inches.
Huh. Wow.
Only fits one guy though. So it's not like a love seat. It's just a really big chair, and it's just perfect for our room, for our little
study.
It's
just a big old chair. It's a big, big comfy couch.
Big, beautiful leather chair. Yeah.
48 inches. Man, imagine they have those on airplanes.
I'm 48 inch chairs? Mm-hmm. No, you're not getting off the ground, dude. I got something I want to talk about today.
Dude, me too. But no, we can go ahead and talk.
You yeah. go first, and I'll
I
want to
talk
last.
About how much I hate introverts. I want.
Frick, my website sucks.
It does, really? Wait, hold on. We've worked really hard on it. It took us ages and ages and ages to put it together. You're telling me that our website is bad?
Yes, we are but simple, humble parish workers, and we tried so hard, but we were so bad at it.
It's probably because I spent all my time studying theology and not digital graphic design.
It's probably because I spent all of my time browsing through WordPress plugins instead of actually making the website.
That'll do it. I have redone a parish website twice in my career because I was the youngest person on staff. I had to work on it. And most parish websites are clunky, poorly written, and horrible and difficult to navigate. And that's why our friend Dan at Briefcase Marketing is sponsoring our podcast to get the word out to you, parish worker, about how you guys can redo your website for a fraction of the cost of what it would cost you to get it done by like some firm that's not even Catholic. They don't even know about the church. Come on, get out of here.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't just parishes. This is any Catholic company that has an old or a cluttered website, or really any company at all. If you work at a small company, if you have a website, Dan at Briefcase Marketing can help you out. This would be a really overwhelming process, Patrick, but they make it really, really simple over at Briefcase Marketing.
Yes. Most companies that you contract to write a website for you will make you write out the whole website, all of the stuff. They're just making it look pretty. They're not doing any of the content. Dan will actually write the website for you so that you don't have to worry about what's going to convert, what needs to be above the fold. What does above the fold even mean? He takes care of all of that for you.
I send him photos of myself. I say, put this one on the website. Put that one on the website. Put this one on the website. Make this one a GIF. Turn me into, make it so that I'm dancing with Trump and Elon Musk AI. And he says, no problem. No problem. I'll include it on the website. Super easy to work with. Loves putting pictures of me on the website. So if that's your bag, he's got it.
Instead of staring at a blank sheet of paper and writing all of your content, he writes everything for you. So takes care of all of that. And if your company or ministry or parish needs a better website, he has a deal that the first three people to fill out our form on our website will get a free rewrite of the hero section of their website. It's the top part of the homepage, the most important part of your website. So the first three people, even if you don't go with them, even if you don't work with them, get a free rewrite of the hero section of your website. So fill out our form at thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Take it to a form, fill it out, and he'll rewrite the hero section for you. If you love it, he'll work with you. You're going to want to hire him immediately. He's a great guy. Check out his Google reviews. All of his Google reviews are from parish pastors or ministries he's worked with that have given him 5 stars all the way. So go check him out. That's thecrunchcast.com/briefcase.
thecrunchcast.com/briefcase. Thank you so much to Briefcase Marketing for sponsoring this episode of Putting Ethan on Your Parish Website. Do it now. Okay, goodbye.
I want to talk about introverts. We talked about Harry Potter a lot. Not hate introverts. Sorry, Phoebe. I know you're listening to the podcast now. I'm just kidding. But I saw this thread that was like how to talk to introverts at work. It was like, this guy was like, how to talk to introverts. And he was like, instead of don't, oh, what introverts wish their leaders said at meetings. And it was like, instead of saying, instead of saying, oh, let's all go around and share a fun fact about each other, say, like, let's stop and consider a fun fact, then we can share it all in an email later. And I was like, you just need to be an adult about that. Just have a fun fact. This is not a surprise. At 30 years old, you should know a fun fact about yourself. You should just have one on lock.
I'm pulling up the thread.
And so I said,
what introverts wish leaders said in meetings and things not to say. Number one, let's take a moment to think this through. Introverts appreciate time to process information before speaking. This is one of those like Sigma things where it's like, it's just true for everyone, you know, and they're just making it like, yeah, who doesn't appreciate time to process information? Okay. Number two. Oh, hold on. They're not posted in order because this guy doesn't know how to do a thread. Okay. Then it goes to number six. Let's go around the team and share a fun fact, which is the one that you just shared. Number three, we'll be discussing XYZ in our next meeting. Please come prepared with your thoughts. That's just called running a good meeting. That's how you set up your next, that's just good. Number two, if you have more thoughts after the meeting, feel free to email them to me. Again, this is just a normal thing that people do in meetings. Number five, you should try to be more outgoing in meetings, Patrick. You should not say that to an introvert. You should try to be more outgoing in meetings. Yeah, God forbid you want someone to contribute their thoughts and opinions. Number four, this is the last one. You are so quiet today while thinking. Okay, so this is an insane thing to be like. So don't say this. You are so quiet today. And it's also assuming that the person is thinking, I guess you don't know much about this topic. So you're just
assuming
putting
malice
your own,
in the other
you're
person.
Just assuming yeah. malice and putting your own insecurities on the other person in this fictional situation and then saying, don't do that. That's like, who is this helping?
Yes, sir.
This is the worst thread I've ever read in my life. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the introverts.
Don't say, hey, why haven't you sent that one email you needed to send today?
Yeah.
Instead, say, would the whittle bittle baby like a whittle bittle nap? Be an adult. Come on. Send the email.
I have social anxiety,
so I can't make a phone call. Your job is to make phone calls. And said, it's fine. If you do it enough times, you'll get better at it. My camera is on the fritz. What's happening?
My camera is on the fritz. My camera is on the fritz.
Omegle.
I think we stick with the Omegle angle.
I don't want to stick with the Omegle angle. I don't like the Omegle.
What I've learned about these cameras that we have is that the micro HDMI is the most supremely finicky port in existence.
I've never had this problem.
My camera had this exact problem. That's why I don't use it anymore. It's because this same thing was happening to me, and eventually the camera feed and it just never worked. So
you don't use.
I think
your,
we might,
wait. You're not using your camera right now?
I'm using my Logitech C920.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Webcam, yeah. I haven't used the Sony camera in months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Huh. Shows how much you care.
Didn't even notice. I just thought my connection was bad.
No, it's me. I'm the problem. It's my visage.
Maybe you need a better HDMI.
I've tried that. I really think it's the port. Based on everything, I've done a lot of research on this, I promise you. I think it's just the port on this camera. We're not the first people to have this issue.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe there's just dust in it.
Okay.
Have you found that?
Sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself.
Well, there goes the battery. All right. Well, we. So you okay? You've looked all this up. Dang. Okay.
Yeah.
This sucks, man.
Yeah.
Oh well.
You think I'm some kind of rube?
I would never call you a rube.
Not explicitly, but implicitly, certainly.
Listen, I can apply.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
I would never turn it off back on again. Actually, I might try that. Never mind.
All right. Do you want to podcast?
Yeah. That just makes me kind of sad, you know?
What does?
That the cameras aren't working. We had a good run, you know?
Well, just do the other angle so that I can see you.
Okay. It's going to make the YouTube video look bad.
Oh, the YouTube video already looks bad because your camera cut out three different times.
Hello.
All right. Oh, that's man. Great.
Ah.
Oh.
One more time. All right. Where were we? What were we talking about?
We were having a lovely conversation.
Try turning it off and back on again.
About the little baby. This dovetails with what I was going to talk about today.
And yes. Good.
This is great. We can all say my thing and we can kind of combine them because I think it's the same spirit at work that is upsetting both of us today. Mm-hmm. So I saw a post, and this is kind of a Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner thing in a certain sense.
Ooh.
This person said, someone needs to write a book for Catholics who have discerned their vocation is marriage but are still single. It feels so unproductive just waiting so I can live my vocation.
Also, first of all, I guarantee you someone has written that book already.
Guarantee? Yes. Lisa Cotter.
Yeah.
Kevin Cotter.
Amen.
The OG goats.
The dating detox.
I hate... There's been a lot of... And then I replied to that and some people got upset with me about what I said, and which is fine. But I think, Patrick, you and I have learned some things about life. It's hard to talk to people who are maybe single or people who struggle with like that workplace anxiety that you were talking about in your introvert thread, because people will just look at you and me and be like, oh, well, it's easy for you guys. You're married and you're just naturally outgoing at work.
Married. You're just naturally married.
Yeah. Well, it's easy because you're already married. Like it just, and you found someone that you liked early on in your life and you just married them. That doesn't happen to me. Nobody likes me. And also work is really hard for me. It gives me a lot of anxiety. And I just the thing that really set me off with someone in the replies was saying to me that your life's circumstances are more important than the actions that you take. Like your, who your parents are, how you're born, the city that you're born into, the family, all these different things that like are out of your control. She was arguing that those are what make up your life principally. And I was just like, I wasn't going to morally object to it in the moment, cause I don't really like to get into like you're wrong or you're right arguments on Twitter, cause it doesn't really help. I was just like, That's just not how I see it. This is how I see it. Is the extent to which I will argue anymore.
Yeah.
But I actually think that that is an unchristian understanding of life. That is because I think God gives us free will and wants us to, over time, learn to choose what He wants, to conform ourselves to Him.
Sure. Yes.
Which can happen in any life circumstance. Right. So to say that some life circumstances are more likely to have vocations or some life circumstances are more likely for people to be successful than others, it's true in a superficial sense, but in the actual sense of what makes a life good, you can choose good with every choice, every single day, no matter what your circumstances are. You know, you could be living in the slums in a favela in Brazil. And you could still choose the good every single day, right? Because that's your choice. It's no one else's. It doesn't matter where you are, you know? And so, and I just think the same thing about the introverts, right? They're like, oh, well, this is how I am. There's no way around it. So other people have to adapt to me. I can't possibly be the one to change. And I just think we'll put padded cells around these people and treat them nicely when they really just need a splash of cold water in the face.
Like, come on, you can't do nothing. You got to do something, you know. Mm-hmm. Just do so, you can do anything.
Yeah.
You just got to pick something, unless you don't really want it. Like, unless you don't really want the thing you say you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I mean, this is especially true with dating. Is like, I just feel so unproductive waiting around.
Oh.
You're imposing the. This maybe is a Dr. Ethan's Dating Quarter. Yeah. You are imposing a rule upon yourself that is not real.
Yes.
Guys don't like it when girls ask them out. Fine. We have a solution for this. if you really want to work around. However, mm-hmm. you can also just ask a guy. There's no good Catholic men in my town. If only there were other towns. And then it's like, well, I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave my family. Okay, then you want to stay with your family more than you want.
Well, you're warning, yeah,
a guy. And that's okay. That's fine. But you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself, I think. And I think that's true with the introversion thing too. I have very close friends who are introverts. My lovely, darling wife is an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and yet she's had to learn to act in certain ways that are against her natural proclivity in certain situations. You know, like she's like, I have to go talk to people. Otherwise I'm going to be sad and alone by myself all the time. And it's not my natural tendency to go talk to people. I have to stop talking so that people will want to be friends with me. I have the opposite problem. You know,
I don't think
I did find this as an extroverted person is that I do find that introverted people are actually not expected to change as often as extroverted people are.
Yes.
That was my experience.
Dude, it's the white man's burden, bro.
It is the white man's burden. I'm kidding. But I very rarely heard, and it's possibly because I'm not an introvert, but I don't think I've ever said to someone, you need to talk more.
Right.
If I want someone to talk more, I simply get them to talk more by asking them about everyone's favorite subject.
Right. This is the other thing. This is really also this is an interesting point, is that someone was saying like, oh, you can't control other people. It's like, sure you can.
Yeah, you can.
You absolutely can influence.
Someone hasn't read B.F. Skinner.
I don't know who that is, but I really love his chicken. It's P.F. Chang. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm confused. This is another Hormozyism. But he's like, I can make people do lots of different things, right? I can make everybody in this room take off all their clothes right now. And the guy's like, huh? He's like, yeah, I'll just turn up the temperature until it's too hot. I guarantee you people will take off their clothes eventually. And it's like,
eventually.
Okay, right. So now that's, you could get into an argument whether that's like torturing people, you know, but I don't think that's not his point. His point is that you can do things. So to talk about like your example, right? If you want someone to talk more, you can talk less, ask better questions, you know, learn about what they're interested in, find common ground. Like there's things that you can do to get someone to do something that you want them to do, right? In the same vein, when it comes to dating, women understand this, I think, intuitively. There's things that you can say, ways that you can dress that will garner you the attention that you might desire. I'm just throwing that. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying it's possible. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Hello, it's me from the future. Well, in this podcast, I'm from the future, but for you listening, I'm from the past. And if this ad gets used again, I'm even more in the past. But I'm not in the future for the future me that's recording a future episode that this ad is in. But what I'm going to talk to you today about is the Consecrate America campaign. We just had the year of the 3 years of the Eucharistic Revival and the big National Eucharistic Congress. But Carmel Communications is on a mission to consecrate America to the Eucharist. So you can go to consecrateamerica.com. We're hoping that we get as many people as possible to sign a petition to the U.S. bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. As of right now, I'm looking at the page, 137,000 people have signed. They're aiming for 250,000. You head over to consecrateamerica.com. You can join the petition. Essentially, we believe that the people who believe in the Eucharist, should continue to advocate for adoration, reverence in the liturgy. I mean, we can't just stop because the Congress happened and it's over now. It feels like it's over now. We have to keep going. And one of the ways that Carmel Communications is doing this, and they are petitioning the bishops to consecrate America to the Eucharist. 50 million American Catholics have left the Catholic faith in the past 30 years. It is time to stop seeking worldly solutions to spiritual problems. If we consecrate America, then we will be placing this into God's hands. We will be seeking out a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. So head on over to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition today. We'd like to thank Carmel Communications for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. Go to consecrateamerica.com. Sign the petition now. See you later.
Guys, there's ways for you to get the attention of women you desire. Have you considered finding a large stone and throwing it, or picking up a stick and swinging it around? That's one way to get the attention of a woman I have found.
I was going to go a different route. I was like, you could get a really big truck and you can just kind of let it idle outside of the 18 and up swing dancing bar, and that will guarantee get you some kind of attention.
I kind of live in a redneck area, and in Florida, and I saw a Toyota Tacoma Toyota Tundra, and it had a pink sticker on the back and said, "Yeah, boys, this is my truck." And I was like, "Whoa. I think every truck guy knows that's your truck."
Yeah, boys. This is my.
I was like, my little brother and all of his friends are all truck guys. I don't think I've ever seen a foreign in their little gang, you know.
and that's not. We're not even talking about the trucks yet.
That was good.
Anyway, go on. So we talk about guys. It's a similar thing, right? This is kind of what the Sigma, you know, pickup artist type thing is about, right? But that's a very crude, manipulative almost way to go about this.
Yes.
Right? There, you can learn how to be charismatic. You can learn how to be a good conversationalist. You can learn how to dress well. You can learn how to make yourself more physically attractive. You learn how to groom yourself better. You can learn how to, you know, lift weights. Like there's all different kinds of things that then on the other side that men can do to then get other people to do the thing that you want them to do. So I just don't buy this, like, well, it's all just kind of like, I know that marriage is my vocation, but now I just have to, now I'm just here. I'm just waiting for it to come true. Like you're Princess Fiona in the damn tower. Waiting for, like, Prince Charming. You know?
It is funny because it's like there's assumed agency. It's kind of hypocritical. There's assumed agency in the discernment. I have the ability to, like, figure out God's will, and now that I've done it, it's my job to just wait for Him to deliver it to me. It's like, that's kind of the opposite. It's God's job to will, and yours is to act. You know, it's you've got this kind of backwards. His job is to decide what happens, and your job is to make it happen, kind of, you know, like that. Your job is to go do the will of God, whereas it seems kind of, I think this is a trap that a lot of us fall into with discernment, is like, discernment is just, instead of discerning God's will, people discern how what they want is actually what God wants. That's what people do when they discern. They sit in their room and they try and figure out how what they want is.
Yeah.
And it's fine to want things, you know. God uses your desires. We've said this a lot. Everyone says that. But yeah, no, it is kind of presumptuous to be like, I've discerned that God's will for my life is marriage. Great. Awesome. I feel like it could be a lucky guess, because most people are married.
Right.
In the end.
I do think a lot of people, this is where people will jump in and say, marriage is not a vocation, which I tend to agree with, because it's just like the ordinary state, you know, there's nothing different about it that is unique, right? Most people, billions of people throughout all of history have gotten married. So it's the normal thing to, it's not like a special, like, oh, I'm going to go from the default state of humanity, which is singleness, to this different state of humanity, which is married. And that's
ding,
like,
ding, ding. That's,
I know you're the guy, you wrote the book on this. So, you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but that's
didn't
not
publish
true.
The book on it, but we'll move on from that.
I'll publish it, man. I'll sell it. Crap,
I'll friggin' up, bring it. First Harry Potter book, 500 copies.
Yeah, apparently. I'll go to door to door. I'll go to door to door in Little Whinging, and I'll sell your book in Surrey.
Yeah, off the cuff, wherever the hell that is. Who knows?
Yeah. So these ladies that are out there and these men, they're like, well, this is just, I can't control other people, and I'm single, and God has willed this time for me, but I know I'm supposed to be married, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm embracing the season of singleness. No, why? Why are you embracing the season of singleness? I don't know any person in my life who's like, I think God is calling me to be single, that would not get married or date someone at the drop of the hat if it was like the right person, you know?
Hot guy.
Yeah. If a hot, beautiful hunk of meat walked through the door, you'd be like, sign me up. Grab the A1. Let's get going. I know you have thoughts, so I want to hear what you have to say.
I think hear me when I say this. I'm going to explain the nuances here in a second.
All right.
Singleness is not a vocation.
Correct.
You can't be called to be single.
Yes.
You might end up that way. I got canceled by Big Camera.
I know. Well, no, you're not getting canceled. You're the single Catholic women on X are hearing about this now live, and they're coming in and they're climbing up your walls. Oh, he's gone.
I'm still here.
And he's back. Keep going.
Well, and it's a lot. You end up single, but it's through no fault, whatever. But they did try to get married. Anyway, I think it's just what people say when they want. I don't understand what singlehood is.
You're not going to hurt anyone's feelings.
I just know people that are not married and they're old.
Yes.
So they're probably not going to get married. They do amazing things for the church.
Sure.
But I think if you were like, hey, would you like to have gotten, like, yeah, they probably would have rather have gotten married and had kids. You know, and so it's like there's a poverty there. It's like saying that marriage is for children. And it's like, but what about the infertile couples? And it's like, well, that's something that's gone wrong, and it's no one's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right. Anyway, consecrated virginity is just different than singleness, and I think that's what a lot of people miss is that. No one is called to singleness outside of that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say called. No one is called to it because God wills it to happen. I don't know. I'm not worried about hurting someone's feelings. I'm more worried about speaking in a way that like would be misconstrued.
A friend of mine messaged me on X and said, there's a Latin word I learned from insert star of Little Rascals movie here. Controversial star, not the other one.
Oh, not our account.
That this Latin word basically means failure to launch, and it's when you aren't married, ordained, or in religious life, and I think it kicks in at 33. So there's just like a Latin word that exists. He doesn't remember what it was. That describes this state of person, right? That like something misfired, right? You were set up, raised, ready to go, and then it didn't happen for whatever reason. And like you said, it's not a sin on the part of the person that's single, right? You're not culpable for anything, but it is a deficiency. And I think if you ask any single person, like, do you experience being single as a deficiency? They'd all be like, yeah. No one's like, oh, I have more, you know, maybe more time to freaking read a book. Maybe
no one likes dating, especially not people who are dating. Yeah. I did. I so I based on your this is connected, I promise. Sure. You mentioned the sixth Harry Potter movie, and I was like, I don't go rewatch this. So I rewatched the sixth Harry Potter movie.
Was I right?
It is pretty slow, but it does have some moments. So like, there's that scene in like the hospital where Ron is unconscious and his girlfriend runs up and she's like, he's speaking, and all of the professors are like there.
Yeah, Dumbledore has the best line. Yeah,
Dumbledore is like there, and then Snape is just like, just chilling. Anyway, it's funny because it's like, you don't have the adult plot and the kid plot together, and so they're all there, and Ron like in his sleep goes, Hermione, and they're all like looking at each other, and Dumbledore goes, ah, to be young and feel love's cruel sting. And I was like, that's how I feel watching these movies and seeing these questions. I'm like, to be young again and feel pain.
It's so funny because Dumbledore's like 600 years old canonically, and so he's just like seen it all.
Classic.
Anyway, it is Saturday. I'm about to watch some college football. I got the K-State polo on. As some of you know, my love for college football is another indication of my further swing to the right that you might have noticed on the podcast. One of the other things that's more right wing about me lately is that I really, really hate censorship. I really don't like big tech using their monopoly over the technology that we use every day, silencing people that frankly say things that are true about the Catholic Church, about Catholic social teaching. There's a lot of repression about the truth that's going on out there in big tech land. That's why our sponsor, Patmost Hosting Solutions, is one of the best sponsors we've ever had, because I think they're actually doing something of value. Our website is hosted on Patmost. They are our island of refuge from big tech. That's one of the things that they say. They provide a few different things: top-notch web and app development services, hosting, AI GPU services, and they're all backed. This is the thing I really like about them: no censorship guarantee. So even if they completely disagreed with you, they would still host you. They would still put you out on the web. They would make sure you don't get deplatformed, because they agree that you should be allowed to say what you want to say, right? You should not be censored because of ideological differences. I say a lot of things on this podcast that maybe would get me canceled otherwise, but Patmos, because I'm not worried about that, they always take care of me, which is really, really nice. I have my own person to talk to. I could talk to Camila anytime I have an issue or a question about what's going with Patmos, and they never offshore or sub out any of their work. There's just no better value in tech. So if you are looking to build an app or website or host a current site, or you know someone who's looking to do any of these things, go to patmos.tech. They can help out businesses or missions. So if you're in the church world, they can help you no matter what size you are. There's no cost amount that is the minimum threshold. They want to help everybody who wants this type of service with the great value that they provide. Let's see, the last thing here. Oh, I didn't include this in some of the other ads. You get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration if you tell them the Crunch sent you. That's 10% off. We need to go back and we need to update. So I'm going to say this a lot more. 10% off if you tell them that the Crunch sent you. That's patmos.tech. Patmos, freedom as a service. Go to patmos.tech, tell them the Crunch sent you. Get 10% off for your favorite mission, organization, church, or business. That's patmos.tech. They keep us free. Thank you, Patmos, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch. This goes back to the idea of agency, right? And this idea of the introverts. If you don't like something about how your work is handling a meeting, right, it's not on the manager to stumble on a Twitter thread that tells him the right words to use that doesn't hurt his coworkers' feelings. Like, you can't just sit around and wait for that to happen. You need to go to the manager and say, hey, when you ask me to do this, here's how I think about it, right? I feel kind of ill-equipped when you put me on the spot like this. So in the future, could you just let me know if there's something you want me to talk about in the meeting? And then I feel way more comfortable reading off some prepared notes than, you know, going just randomly in the meeting, right? That's something you can do to change the reality of your life. Like, you can go to any good manager and be like, totally get it, right? Everybody has different styles. I'll make sure that
any normal person.
Any normal person will be like, awesome. Introverts obviously assume that no one is normal and that they're the only normal person. That's like, that's basically the thought process is like, no one else would possibly be reasonable. And yeah. So I'm the only reasonable one. So everyone should have to adopt to what I believe.
It is a very millennial coded trait. I'm an introvert Hufflepuff.
I don't think there were any introverts before there were millennials.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I've ever met a Gen X person that's like, oh yeah, I'm an introvert. You know,
fair.
Every Gen X person I know is like, can't wait for the game on Sunday. They're just living life.
I can't believe my mortgage is $800.
I got some of those new balances. They've really done a good job on their branding. I think I'll buy
it. I'm not racist. Card. I hate everybody equally.
Oh, boy. I didn't vote for Trump in 2020, but I think I might have to in 2024.
My last parish job was me, a Zoomer, my millennial boss, and our Gen X coworker, and yeah. our baby boomer, our secretary. It was an mm-hmm. amazing crew.
Yeah.
It was just a great time.
Reminds me of that show. Anyway, I want to wrap this all up. So talking about the introvert thinking that they're the only normal person, everyone has to adjust to them. If you're single, you cannot wait around for the men in your life or the men in your town to wake up to the reality that you're the most beautiful person on the planet. And men, you cannot wait around for all the women in your town to wake up and realize you're the most chivalrous and holy guy on planet Earth. That's not how it works, because that's the assumption that everyone else is wrong and I'm right. So someone out there has to change to fit me.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, like, if you just think about that in any other context, like traffic laws, you know?
Yeah.
Or just like business, like I'm going to do business in a new way. I'm actually going to have costs that exceed revenue, and everyone should subsidize it, which is what some businesses do. But
that's what Amazon did.
And they made it work. But thinking that you can just go in and break the rules and go in and not and try to get everyone to conform to you is not a good strategy for success.
No, it's how you get public art and poetry that's just blocks of text on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real.
What
you have to learn the
what
rules
you can
first.
Do, what you can do if you're a guy or a gal is say, okay, this is something I desperately want. I want it more than I want a promotion. I want it more than I want my current job. I want it more than I want to watch Netflix at night. I want this. How do I go about getting it? That, like, you have to really believe in the desire. Like, let the desire really and truly drive you and your actions every day. Instead of, I think we live in a world that suppresses desire.
Hmm.
It's like, but you'll figure it out. You have time, whatever. And then they feed you this constant IV of dopamine. And they're like, you don't need it. You can watch Gossip Girl on the CW. And but you need to let it stir
you
up.
You have HBO Max included with your Verizon plan.
Yeah. You need to let the desire stir up in you. And you need to take action every single day towards the thing that you want. Because if you don't, you're not going to get it. So, like... And then if you believe that, then we can actually start at a tactical place where it's like, all right, here's ways where you can meet more women. Here's ways where you can meet more men. Here's how to go on better dates. Here's how to ask. But then you can actually get into the stuff about dating. But people don't even get to the start line. And this is true. You can apply this to lots of different things. But people just don't try. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say you have to prove to me that you're trying, but you do have to, like, be honest with yourself.
Uh-huh.
I've done everything and it's not working. You know?
Have you done everything? Have you moved to Thailand?
I just don't believe that people have done everything.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried to pick up a lady boy in Bangkok? Have you really tried everything?
I didn't like that.
I'm just saying, if we're exhausting all of the options.
I didn't like it.
Don't do that. Do not go to... But people do. This is what older guys do. When they get divorced, they're like, I'm going to go to Thailand and get myself a lady boy. Don't do that.
What is it? Is it a lady or is it a boy?
What is it?
Is lady the adjective or the noun?
It's a fun. We have fun on this podcast.
I need to know.
All right. Anyway, continuing on. Oh gosh, I had something else. Yeah, it's not super important, but I think that's good. I think people maybe people will benefit from this advice.
You are more in control than you think.
Yes.
Oh. That's it.
Yes.
It's like you have more agency than you believe.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something that you and I have gone through a lot of things over the past couple of years that have placed us in this mindset, I think, where it's just a little bit different than where we were a couple of years ago. And so that's why I have a little less patience, because I'm like, you just have to go through a life-shattering event a couple of times. You and your friend, and you have to take turns going through life-shattering events, going back and forth and just having every belief broken. And like, because if you go through no one is coming to save you enough times, and at the same time your friend goes through it at the same number of times, and you're just constantly repeating that phrase, eventually you start to go, oh, no one is coming to save me. I am in charge of myself, my family, and our success. And so like, but if you're single and you've just kind of been employed by the first job that you're offered, like I was, it's just a couple of, like 4 years ago, it's very much the world that I never would have considered going up to sponsors at Seek and getting cards and calling them and trying to set up meetings for sponsorships until I started doing Decided Excellence.
Right.
Never would have even considered it. I was sitting in my apartment in Newcastle waiting for an invitation to be a speaker while this kid was like cold calling dioceses and doing talks for free. It's like that's agency.
Yes.
You know, he obviously wanted it more than I did because he did something about it. You know, and it's like that's what you can do. Like you can, if you want something bad enough, you can act and you can get it.
It's actually crazy what happens when you just ask. You know, you realize this in business where it's like, oh, this person would never want to work with me, or like this company would never hire me to do this, or they would never give us a shot to do this. And then you just DM someone and you ask, and they're like, sure, let's set up a meeting. And then maybe the meeting goes well, maybe it doesn't. But like people who are functional, and I mean that, I use that word very specifically, people who are functional in our society understand that you have to work with other people in order to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you are ideally a functional single woman and a functional single man, If the man reaches out to the woman and says, hey, I would like to take you out on a date, the woman is like, I would like to get married. This is a nice young man. I don't really know anything about him. Sure, I'll let him take me out on a date and let's see where it goes, right? A non-functional woman is like, well, he's not 6 foot tall and he's a finance, blue eyes, whatever. I don't want to do that joke. But
he sent me a weird joke in the text and I don't really like it. I'm going to post it on Twitter and be like, oh, dating is so hard.
Yeah. Or for the guy, it's like she's not a 10 out of 10, you know, and she doesn't dress modestly the way that I want, or she dresses too modestly. I don't know. I don't know what your deal is, but like everyone needs to get over their deal and just realize like it's just people.
She doesn't fail.
Other people. Yeah. Like whatever, dude, who cares? It's actually just crazy easy to just go out there and just start pushing on the world and then just like seeing where the world pushes back. And then you're like, okay, like that I can do something, right? We're not just pieces of paper floating around in the wind, like a paper bag floating around in the wind on a free video camera in American Beauty, Kevin Spacey. You never saw American Beauty, Kevin Spacey?
I was supposed to for like a psychology class. We were able to choose between American Beauty or Tangled. And I chose Tangled.
It's actually interesting that I bring it up because that film is about Kevin Spacey, who falls, he is infatuated with the neighbor high school girl and fantasizes about her and wants to have a relationship with her. His marriage is awful, but there's all these hints throughout the movie that this is a man that is deeply unsatisfied and imprisoned by the trap of modernity. He has this nice job, upper middle class, wife is a real estate agent, but the wife is stepping out on him, and you know, his son is smoking weed, and he just like is completely trapped in his own life. And he starts this like
Gen X search movie.
It is. He starts this search for meaning through this infatuation with this girl. He ultimately like he doesn't go through with it or anything, but like because he starts to take action, even though the action is disordered and wrong, and nobody's saying that you should be a creepy pedophile.
In a movie or in real life, Kevin Spacey.
That's exactly. People end up like dying in this movie. Like there are people that get shot at the end of the film, and he like changed the fabric of the earth. He dies, right? Like he dies because of what he does. And he changes the fabric of the earth. Who's to say if it's good or bad, right? It's kind of this nihilist, you know, Gen X sort of. And it, because he dies, whatever, it's over now. But I think the whole point of the movie is like, this is a guy who decided to do something, and he did it. He did the wrong thing, but it broke him out of his prison, which is really what he wanted at the end of the day. He could have broken out of it thousands of other ways, but he chose this way, and it ended in his death and like a broken family, you know.
So maybe like I take it all suicides. Back. Stay with your. That's
no, another, I'm just saying there's right ways and wrong ways to do it. Is I think what I'm trying to say. Do it the right way. Don't go out and like just have sex with a bunch of girls. Like, okay, that is action, but like that's not the right action. Yeah. Obviously, that'll change your environment. That'll change how you're living, but it won't. You'll be like Andrew Tate. Who wants to be like Andrew Tate? Losers, you know,
selling an online course. Who would do that?
From a
speaking Bugatti. Of, please buy our online course. Thank you.
Wow,
it'd be nice if you bought it.
Patrick's on the hustle and grustle.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for our sponsors.
Multiple income streams.
I'm ready to do the next podcast. What about you? We got to get you to bed so that you can go. So that you can go to bed, so that you can travel during your fake hurricane tomorrow.
Maybe I should move my flight up. Just try and get out before.
I've been trying to say this. You should fly out tonight if you can.
Nah, it's too late now.
All right. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
I refuse to let external circumstances determine my actions. I will fly the airplane through the hurricane myself.
You're one of the 80% of men that thinks they can fly a plane.
Oh, yeah. No, right. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.